Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:09 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 13th, and of course, it being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But let's first have a review of what's been happening this week, and golly, it has been, quite eventful. I suppose most importantly is that we saw upward dynamics right across the boards in equity markets, and we haven't seen very many, or indeed any that I can think of, stock markets moving to new lows following the upward dynamics we saw earlier in the week. This puts at least a short-term floor under the markets, and if the most bearish of forecasts are to be realized, then we would need to see stock markets taking out the lows of this week to reaffirm any downtrends that are there. But there's a massive divergence across the equity spectrum in terms of relative performance, because we see that Wall Street rallied extremely well this week and had a very good day as well yesterday, but still not pushing back up into the previous range and moving back towards more testing that level. We also see that across Europe, we see that a number of markets had broken down from 4-month ranges in the early part of this month, and while they are rallying quite well to into the close of the week, we see a little bit of softness, nothing to offset the good action that we've seen throughout the week, but neither have we seen any of these markets pushing back up into the previous ranges. On the other hand, there are also a number of markets around the world, Sweden, for example, in Europe, but a large number of those that did not break to the downside are in Asia and Latin America, and these are relative performers, and we see a number of them now pushing back up towards the upper sides of their ranges. Taiwan in Asia is of particular interest because it is leading, both in terms of the relative performance of its banks relative to the rest of the banks in the region and indeed the rest of the world, but also in terms of the wider stock market, which is pressuring the 5,000 level and has broken the short-term highs, looking a little bit overstretched in the very short term, but very good relative performance. Of course, China is the largest market outside of Japan in Asia, and it is also showing relative performance continuing to hover above this 2000 level, having pulled back from the highs that we saw a couple of weeks ago. And of course, China is also finding itself in a very strong position in international terms right now. Looking also at what has been happening in the commodity markets, we continue to see that the industrial metals are firm within this basing formation that has been ongoing for the last few months. Copper and lead in particular, zinc as well, looking quite firm in here. Nickel continuing to test the lower side of its range. But in terms of what this means for the wider market, if we see industrial metals beginning to perform, and we see that countries such as China are looking to pick up industrial metals and or other industrial commodities while they are cheap, then this could well be a forward indication of recovery for the wider economy globally. So it will be very interesting to watch, regardless of whether one is actually trading the industrial metals or not. This has also been an interesting week in terms of currencies. There is a competitive race to the bottom in terms of how countries are treating their currencies. Certainly, in the UK, the weakness of the pound was not unwelcome in the whole in Whitehall. And certainly, we look at the way the pound has performed relative to so many other currencies, and it's down something like 30% against the euro over the last year. That is a boon for the UK economy in the medium to longer term. In the short term, it's certainly a help for exporters, but it's going to take time, obviously, for the UK economy to recover. I commented on Wednesday night that the Swiss franc look or the dollar looked like it was rolling over against the Swiss franc, and the franc looked like it was going to get stronger. And it looked like the Swiss Central Bank were thinking something similar and said, "Well, we don't want that to happen," and they intervened to weaken the Swiss franc yesterday. Of course, the franc has been viewed as a safe haven currency for some time, and the fact that the Swiss National Central Bank are moving to weaken it is a further indication that there is no country out there wants a strong currency at this time, or indeed at any other time, because of the competitive natures of globalization and the competitive race to the bottom in efforts to stimulate economies which have really turned into moribund growth, or indeed contraction, over the last year. That helps to support the argument that gold really is a long-term store of value, as are other commodities, which cannot simply have their supply increased willy-nilly. Quantitative easing is the new term for printing money, and the Bank of England has said that they are going about this process where they are buying the Treasury's bonds with freshly printed pounds. And while this will certainly help to keep interest rates down and is supporting the gilt market, there is something of burning down or burning the ceiling to keep yourself warm with this type of activity, because the loss of confidence that could be instilled if this process isn't managed absolutely perfectly is an enormous risk. And if we see that the masses of liquidity that are now being added into the UK economy are not withdrawn when the economic cycle begins to pick up once more, then the inflationary problem really could be quite severe. And because this type of quantitative easing, if not already in place in a number of countries, is certainly being considered, then the risk that there is at least one country going to mess up this process is quite high. So it is a necessary step in the road to recovery, because the alternative to not pumping excess liquidity into the market at this point is not even worth considering. But we also need to be aware that this is really a very large risk that is being taken. And over the medium to longer term, the inflationary prospects are quite high. In the meantime, though, we continue to see that velocity of money is contracting, and that the pace of M2 in the US is continuing to accelerate higher in an effort to keep the liquidity situation in check. And as long as that velocity factor continues to contract, then the inflation is not going to be a problem at all. In fact, the deflationary fears that are out there will continue to be front and center in terms of the concerns that are motivating the actions of central bankers. And I will not reiterate the economic problems that are out there, because everyone else is doing a very good job of that. What we're more concerned about is how to make money in this market. And when we look at the various asset classes, there are trading opportunities out there. Certainly, with these upward dynamics right across the equity markets, there are shorts beginning to be pressured. So, where do we think the biggest shorts are? Well, certainly they will be in the US and in Europe, and they have some of the better potential to rally in any type of short covering that may occur over the coming weeks. The Nikkei was also at the lower side of its range. It was up over 5% today, which was an impressive rally from the lower side of that range, and would really need to sustain a move down below the 7,000 level to offset scope for this to rally a bit further in here. The fact, I think, that the Nikkei was so strong relative to the TOPIX, which was much less active today, suggests that we are seeing some shorts being covered in that market. Markets that also look similar would be something like India or Singapore. We saw in India today that India was not one of those markets that broke to the downside. The Indian banks were. They had a very impressive upward dynamic today, but there was a lot of concern about India out there. There could easily have been shorts in that market, and the fact that it is rallying from the lower side of this range would suggest that some of those shorts are being pressured. So we are starting to see some of this type of activity coming through. Also, the relative performing markets, such as, for example, the Latin Americans or the rest of Asia, they if we are seeing short covering across the boards, and if Wall Street and Europe are rallying from these lows, and if they do push back up into those previous ranges, then we are going to see more of those Asian markets touching the upper side of their ranges or breaking on the upside. So, really, quite an interesting time in the equity markets at the moment. And in government bonds, well, there's no shortage of government bonds out there, and governments are continuing to print these things. And they're looking at how they're going to place this vast quantity of bonds onto the market. We see today that China are looking for some sort of guarantee from the US that they're going to have, that they're going to be a bit more responsible with the Chinese investors' money, because China is the biggest holder of treasuries, and treasuries have fallen quite considerably in the last few months from their high up there around the 142 level to their current level, which is in the region of 126, and that's just in the last 3 months. The UK gilts are considerably firmer. In fact, gilts are the only bond market that we monitor that are actually hitting new highs, or in the region of their highs. All the others have pulled back from those levels. For example, euro bonds are down 0.75 point today. They're at 123.71, and as far as I know, the highs are up there around 126. So government bonds have been very firm over the last 3 months. Treasuries have led on the downside. Gilts are certainly the leaders in terms of performance recently, but probably only because of the momentum trade that continues to go on there because of the quantitative easing and statements by the Bank of England that they are in there buying gilts. Others, the government bond markets are not nearly as firm, and some are pulling back from the highs that were posted in the last month. Treasuries did lead on the upside, they're leading on the downside, and it does look like we're going to see some of these other government bond prices starting to come lower. And this is interesting because government bonds have been a safe haven. They've been an easy place for people in a liquid market to put money where they would be able to get out. And of course, there has been the momentum trade going on there. There is the continuing threat from some central banks, particularly the Fed, that they will start buying treasuries. They do need to get those mortgage rates lower, and so far haven't been particularly successful at getting Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae mortgage rates much below 5%. And with the vast number of ARMs that are resetting this year, they are going to have those mortgage rates lower so that more people can avoid foreclosure. And I have been saying for a number of months that this may require legislation to push down those mortgage rates and make the terms of mortgages more amenable to the large numbers of people who are coming up for resets this year. Looking at that prospect, then we have to be aware that there is potential for treasuries to rally in this environment. But to do that, they would need to take out the progression of lower highs, and 127.5 is where those where that progression of lower highs is currently standing, and we'd need to see a rally above that level to suggest that demand is pushing up from the current state in which it's in. When we look at these currencies, then, and we know that we have this competitive devaluation going on, then relative strength becomes a liability in the currency markets, because no country wants a strong currency, and when they see that their currency is becoming stronger, they are much more likely to act against it. And then we look at how people have been talking about the dollar. The dollar has been written in bold letters as a safe haven, and it has certainly pushed up impressively from the lows following that pullback in December, and is well, made new highs in the last couple of weeks on that dollar index. But when we look at it relative to other currencies, we see that those that were weakest against the dollar are now firming up. So we see the Swedish crowns or the Korean won getting bottoming out relative to the dollar, or the dollar topping out against them and pulling back sharply from the highs that we've recently seen. These are just straws in the wind, but if we do start to see the dollar index taking out the 85.50 level on any kind of sustained basis, then that will mark a high for the dollar. And a strong dollar has been in the interests of the USA of late, because they have such a vast amount of debt to place, and having a strong currency was certainly helping that endeavor. But that needn't necessarily always be the case, and there isn't any country is prepared to have a strong currency for very long in here, and it would seem only a matter of time before having a strong dollar is no longer expedient for the USA, and then there could be action to weaken it. So this will be something to watch for over the coming months. Longer term, we look at something like gold, which is consolidating nicely around that $900 level. You still have the progression of higher lows from the $700 level. It did encounter resistance around $1,000. It may pause in this region for a while longer. But with the quantitative easing that is going on and the fear that inflation could become a problem in the medium to longer term, then gold continues to have that safe haven prospect. It could come under pressure if stock markets begin to perform in this environment, for the simple reason that there will be more competition for investors in the market, and we could see it come a bit lower. But over the longer term, gold remains in a secular bull market and has not accelerated in the kind of fashion which would have turned into a mania. There are still a vast number of people who don't get the gold story and w don't own gold. So we're probably moving from the second stage to the third stage in terms of the psychological perception of a bull market. You start out with disbelief, and we had that back in 2002, 2003, 2004. People just didn't believe that gold could go upwards. We're most certainly in acceptance and perhaps moving into the third stage, which will climax most likely in some sort of euphoria regarding this market. We continue to see, though, that people are projecting gold into $2,000 and $3,000, and that is a possibility, but we don't, well, targets are for the birds, as we say in TCS. And I wouldn't like to put a target on how far gold will go, but in terms of where we are in the bull market, the Dow gold ratio is very interesting to look at, because it has come back an awful lot. We had the outperformance of equities peaking back in 2001, and gold has been outperforming ever since relative to the Dow. It's retraced a large part of the bull market, and while the lows that it has got to in previous cycles are still a way off, we do know that gold has already had a very big move from its lows, up almost 400%. So projecting massive inclines or advances from these levels doesn't go without having some sort of risk in there. We also have to be aware that if gold gets to $2,000 to $3,000, then the inflationary problem will be front and center. Or what currency, what else will will your currency buy if gold gets to $3,000? So it may not be the best outcome for the global market to see gold going that high, but at the moment it's certainly still within this secular bull market and does have further potential upside. Silver and platinum still remain comparatively cheap relative to gold, but appear to have bottomed and could perform in the sort of the medium term. With platinum, it's been consolidating nicely above this $1,000 level and is really quite consistent here. I would need to take out $1,000 to offset scope for this to range gradually higher and probably pick up pace over time. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a great weekend.